And now we are able to see that the most important problem in which circular matrices are involved that can be fastly solved with DFTs. I mean these problems. The product of a circular matrix by a vector. But also the product of two circular matrices, and also the solution solving a linear system. So product by a vector. Product of matrices solving a system, a linear system. Ordinarily, this product which have complexities n to the square and qubit, and also here generally we have these complexities, but in this case the most simple product of C by a vector, you may see the matrix, the circular matrix as V D V minus 1. So you can this was the matrix C. You carry the matrix V on the left, we have its inverse. Here you have a fast algorithm could be this. First you compute D contains the eigenvalues of C. We have seen before that the eigenvalues of C are computed by means of inverse VFT. 1 I VFT. First step. Second step, you compute the inverse of V by X. X is given. In our notation, with our positions, this is a 1 DFT, the product of V minus 1 by a vector. Is direct FT for us. Now we know V and this vector, call it Z. Multiply V by Z, compute. But V is diagonal, so we have N flops. Say ODN, big O of N. Now we must compute Y, which is V by the vector d by z. Call this another vector h. Compute v by h, which needs again an IVFT. Three FFTs and with addition of linear cost. So the total is roughly three FFTs. This is again below and locking. So the product has an log n complexity. The idea also for the leading problems is the same. We are able to diagonalize C with FFT, and so we are led to a simpler problem. We solve the simpler problem, and then we go back again with another DFT. In the case of the second problem, yeah, express this matrix as V sub 1, V to the minus 1 by V sub 2, V to the minus 1, where D sub 1 and D sub 2 are the diagonal forms of the two circle matrices. So the result has as diagonal form the products of the two diagonal forms. So the algorithm is clear. First, compute D1 and D2. With two IVFTs. Then multiply V1 by V2. This has a linear cost. And finally, you retrieve the final matrix. C by 3, here C is sub 3, with this is a direct DFT. So we have again three FFTs and again an n log n cost. Finally, it is just an exercise, because the idea is simply the same. We have a linear system, so we know B, but write the usual C as V1x, then see the problem written this way. So first, compute y, this product, this is an inverse DFT, then solve, say that this vector is z, 2. Also compute D. Compute D, that is, D was also an E inverse IDFT. Three, solve a diagonal system. Solve D
V by Z equal to Y, linear. And finally, reconstruct who? X. Compute X as V by Z. V by Z is again an IFT. One of the three must be a direct, which is the direct. The first is just that. No. This is my. This is. It's not important, but V by V is direct. This is. V by B is the inverse. So this is the inverse, so this is the FT. This is V by something, and also here V by some, so this is correct. Anyway, the conclusion is the same. Why circle? So, all the usual problems can be faster solved. Why circular matrices are so important? It is very frequent that after modeling some kind of technical natural problem, we have learned to cope with a linear system with circular block circular. Anyway, involving circular matrices. An example, one of the few examples I have shown you during the year was reconstruction of a tomographic clinical image. We did not give many details about the structure of linear systems involved in the solution. We were interested then in the SVD decomposition, but a possible frequent case of linear system of large dimension is just the case of that linear system which was structured in this way instead of numbers we had sub-square submatrices allocated in the same way as scalar circular matrix. This is a block circular matrix, but the load is the same. We shift the blocks instead of shifting the entries. And so on. So we can solve a system of this kind by block diagonalizing it with a technique we use FFTs. In particular, the single blocks of that problem were structured in terms of scalars or scalar elements because they were tablets matrices, that is, matrices having, as I told you last time, entries equal along all the diagonals. We will say some more about tablets matrices
after. Let us suggest this just now. If I have a Teplitz matrix,
so which is a matrix, let us consider again the case M equal to 4, a small size matrix.
Teplitz matrix is a matrix called A. Whose entries, say, sub like J, are defined as, let me call again the parameter with the letter A, with index J minus. So, example, the first row is again A sub 0. So on. Second row A minus 1 is another parameter, but along the diagonals the same number is repeated. The index in this case can be negative. This is a subtle class with respect to the circular matrices. Circular matrices are particular Teplitz matrices. The parameters defining the matrix are instead of n, 2 by n minus 1. In this case, we have matrix 4 by 4 defined by 7 parameters. In the problem which I called before, the small blocks were had all this at all this form. Also, in this case, the simpler on the problems which were considered before first can be solved using FFTs. So, if A is Teplitz, A by X, say V Y, can be computed in big O and log N flows. This can be seen with this trick. There is a formal escamotage. We continue with the case n equal to 4 and construct the following circular matrix from A, which is Teplitz. Let me avoid to write again for the matrix. Let me construct the circle matrix starting from A, which is this, and almost doubling its size. We try to see the original Teplitz matrix merged in a 7 by 7 circular matrix. How this circular matrix can be made? Let us see. put here.
I'm trying. Finally, I will see that the resulting matrix is effectively circular. I put here the parameters appearing in the lower triangular part in this order. Then I complete the matrix, assuming that this is the first row of circular matrix. In fact, we have A minus 1, 0, 1, 2, 3. Here I write 3 and minus 3, minus 2, and so on. And it works. The last three rows are not very important. It is just essential that the whole matrix is simple. Here we have 3, we bring this here with a sub 2, and here this. According to the usual law. So, if we are interested in the product A by X, this is A, I imagine to multiply the circular matrix with a vector, seven sizer, the first four entries are the same as the entries of X, which was long four. Here we put all the zeros. The problem is solved, since I can't multiply, say, this matrix. See, this vector, I will say, is z. I can multiply c by z in n log n, where n now is roughly the double. We started from n, and the complete matrix c has size 2 by n minus 1, but the complexity is the same as order of magnitude. And then c by z, since here are all zero, is exactly a by x. So the problem is solved. This point, one wonders if there are analogous ways of using FFTs to solve these other problems for Toeplitz matrices. For Toeplitz matrices, the product and the solution of linear systems are much more complicated than the product by a vector. So then, we can say, yes, to you, that there exist fast algorithms to solve these two kinds of problems for Toeplitz matrices in times smaller than the general times. But our algorithms, this is possible in again in n log n, but this is not possible in n log n. So the Toeplitz matrices, despite their their closeness to circular matrices in this way constitute a much more complicated problem to solve. two classical problems which are connected again with circular matrices. The product of polynomials, the fast product of polynomials.
Problem. Product of two polynomials of degree
n. We suppose that they have the same degree, but it is not necessary in the case that they have different degrees. We enlarge the polynomial with smaller degree to the degree of the other. With the usual algorithm, this product means O big O of n to the n squared real flops.
Can we address the computation to the use of
FFTs? The way must be a link to circular, must be, can be a link to circular matrices. I show this with this example. This example is quite general. We consider two polynomials of degree 2, in order to write less. Example. The two polynomials P and Q
they are known through their coefficients. The coefficients of P 2, 1, 0. The coefficients of Q, we call coefficients letter B. The product, say R,
will be a polynomial of degree at most 4,
exactly 4 if both A sub 2 and B sub 2 are different from 0. Call its coefficient with letter C. Coefficient C0 is 6 to the according to the same law for indices. One, two, two.
We write also plain, explicit relations which put the coefficients of the product in relation with the coefficients of the two factors. That is, let us start from C4. It is the product of C2 is the product of A2, B sub 1, and so on. Okay. C2 only these two, right? And the known term, the last term, is the product of the corresponding known terms. Given two vectors, certainly you know this, given two vectors A and B, the vector C is this is called a convolution of the two vectors. With this kind of operation defined exactly by this equation is called convolution of A and B, just for terminology. But our answer is this: is it possible to express the computation of these five numbers as the result of a product by a suitable circular matrix by a suitable vector? The answer is yes. We proceed. This is possible in several ways. Let us construct the circular matrix on the coefficient of one of the two factors, on say the coefficient of P, A, in this way. I don't remember, but it is not relevant. We can order in the first row both in ascending or descending order the coefficient. Let us, I have an example with polynomials of degree 3. So we start here from a sub 2 in the same order. We add two zero entries and we proceed constructing the circular matrix defined by these five entries. Why the matrix must be of size 5? Because the result is a vector of size 5. The vector with the coefficient of the other polynomial. If we put on the top three zeros and put here B zero, so that the first row by the vector gives A sub zero by B sub zero, and complete the ascending order. If you perform the product, you will see that first row by the vector have only a 0 by b0, that is c0. Second row we have 1, 0, 2,
Here I have, I was wrong, here is zero. Along the same diagonal, the axis must be equal. Second row again, I have 1, 0, and 0, 1, that is C sub 1, and so on. Last, which let us check the last, we have simply A by 2, B by 2, C by 4. So we see that the product is the coefficient of the result can be obtained by multiplying this particular circular matrix constructed on the coefficient of one of the two factors by a suitable vector constructed over the coefficient of the second factor. So the problem is again solved in all n. Again, another well-known problem related to these aspects is the product of large integers. It's a very important problem. There is a plenty of smart algorithms for this problem. It's very simple. Two large integers, say again with the same vector, P and Q, can be associated to suitable polynomials in the base, called beta, the base of the representation. Let us suppose that the two integers have the same length. So you have the leading digit, call again A and B. Length M. We are in the same case. We are left with the product of two polynomials computed in in the base of the representation. So we can use exactly the algorithm we start the same circle matrix. We perform the product using the fast algorithm for the DFT. Well, we stop here. This is the last topic, so